Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres are in Chicago kicking off a 7-game road set against a team with a curse.
So I always expect terrible, terrible things to happen.
Fortunately, the jinx is on them. The Padres, however, are hot. And Kurt Bevacqua hopes the hot streak continues, especially for Justin Upton building on his 3 big home runs.
It's hard to hit 3 balls in a row in batting practice. Out of the ball. Well, it was for me.
Now, from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Kurt Bevacqua.
Hey, how about a little Friday morning Padres Social Hour? What do you think about that? Presented by United Airlines. We're broadcasting live from downtown San Diego. Morning show. We don't get to do this very often. We're at the AMR studio inside Petco Park. Jesse Agler, eventually Kurt Bevacqua. He no here yet. He no here. He not here. Kurt's on his way. That's what they tell me. Blooper, can you confirm Kurt Bevacqua's on his way?
Yes, he's on his way.
Okay, if Blooper says it, it must be true. Hey, man, an awful lot to talk about today. Not only the start of a big road trip for the Padres, but obviously there's some big news in Chicago. Where the Padres are, Chris Bryant, the top prospect in all of baseball, has not only been called up by the Chicago Cubs, but also he is in the starting lineup. Not only is he in the starting lineup, he is batting cleanup for the Cubs. That's a pretty special deal, right? That's how you know you're pretty good at this thing, when they call you up from AAA and they're like, yeah, you're going to bat fourth. And on a team with some pretty legit power hitters, Rizzo and Soler. So Chris Bryant is in the lineup, batting cleanup, the fifth guy since the turn of the century, 2000, to bat cleanup in his major league debut. Justin Morneau, probably the biggest name on the list of guys that's done it back in 2003. So it happens a little bit more often than you might think. Jose Abreu last year batted cleanup in his big league debut. He's obviously a little bit of a different story. Chris Bryant, in all honesty, might be a little bit of a different story as well. USD guy, although Torero's out there, you guys got to be feeling proud about this one. Even if you are Padre fans, it's always fun when these things have San Diego connections. Chris Bryant plays at USD and now will be making his major league debut in the regular season against the Padres. I was just catching on Twitter. He just met with the media at Wrigley Field, and he said, yeah, man, I used to go to Padre games when I was at USD. So it's a pretty special thing for him. Obviously, you know about all the accolades. You will know all about the numbers for Chris Bryant. 62 college games in 2013 for USD, and he hit 31 home runs in those 62 games. And if you weren't following college baseball that closely, either in 2013 or in general, something you might not know is that for a couple of years there, the NCAA, they really tried to rein in offense and power specifically when it came to their game. And so the bats and the balls were adjusted so that there really weren't that many home runs. And the dude still hit 31 in 62 games for the University of San Diego a couple of years ago. We got the opportunity to see the 23-year-old in spring training this year. And he was off the charts, man. I mean, it was 9 home runs in spring training. You don't do that. You don't see that kind of power and that kind of production in spring training. But that's what he was able to do. And, of course, Bryant became one of the big, big stories in baseball when he was set down, you know, prior to the start of the regular season. And if you don't know, basically the deal is that they needed him away for 12 days. And yesterday was 12 days in order to control him for another year, you know, pre-arbitration, pre-free agency, I guess you should say. And so that was, you know, not the most popular decision, but from a business standpoint, kind of an obvious one to make. And so Chris Bryant, his major league debut delayed a little bit. And so here he is, and we get to see him batting cleanup, and by the way, against James Shields. So this is a pretty high-powered, high-octane matchup at Wrigley Field today. He is in the starting lineup, batting cleanup. Very, very exciting stuff. So that's something to talk about. Obviously, we'll get to all your Twitter and your chat questions and comments over the course of the day as well. You can join us on Twitter by using the hashtag PadresSH. The hashtag is PadresSH on Twitter. We'll get to your tweets, questions, comments, whatever. And you can also go to Padres.com/social hour to vote on a poll that we've got up right now and to chat with other fans. The poll question is, day games, love them, hate them, or no preference? Padres playing 3 day games at Wrigley Field this weekend, today, tomorrow, Sunday, all 11:20 first pitches. Blooper, you're kind of an old school guy. Day games, love, hate, or no preference?
I like it.
That was not one of the options.
Love it.
Okay, there you go. Thank you. I didn't make like it an option. I said love, hate, or no preference. And you go love it. I love it, too. I love day games. And in Chicago, obviously, it's even more. Kurt Bavakwa, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Hey, you're looking good. Thanks for joining us. So KB is here now. And I'll ask you the formal poll question from the live chat at padres.com/social hour once we get you all hooked up there. And it's about day games. Three day games in Chicago for the Cubs. Day games from a player's perspective. You can provide us a player's perspective. Love them. Hate them. No preference.
Love them as a change.
Okay. Don't want them every day.
But you always had them every day when you played in Wrigley Field. They changed that configuration around in, I believe it was 1988. That was the year after I retired. So I never got a chance to go into Wrigley Field and play night games. It was all day games. It was miserable. 8:30 in the morning, the bus would leave to go to the ballpark.
Yeah, that's early.
After...
a night out?
Know, yeah, you're not used to going to bed early when you play at the major league level. That's all there is to it. I mean, you play night games.
You get used to it. You get into a routine. You get into
you
a
really
schedule.
Do.
And then you drop into Chicago, and all of a sudden the whole thing gets blown up.
Exactly.
And it's a little bit different. No, I understand
it
that.
It is different.
You know, from a player's perspective.
But, you know, coming right out of spring training, that's a good thing. If it was later on in the year, I think it would be much harder.
Right. No, you're right. You're not necessarily totally into your groove at this point. It's a little bit earlier on in the season, and maybe that'll be an advantage for the Padres.
Absolutely.
All right. I like the way you're thinking. By the way, it's a great trivia question. The first night game, it's an easy one to remember. You can impress your friends at the local watering hole with this one. I believe the first night game at Wrigley was August 8th, 1988, 8-8-88. Very easy to remember.
That
one away, and there you go. And
good.
Yeah, there you go.
And I like learning things in the morning.
I believe it was the Phillies. Like we said, hey, day game can screw up your schedule. Day game can screw up your schedule.
Hey, I'm training for Ironman.
Oh, really?
So if you believe this story.
Hold on. Is that true?
So I thought for sure I'd be able to finish the bike and the swim portion
prior to coming here.
Before.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And if it wasn't for the 15-foot Great White. That bothered me for like 15 or 20 minutes, I would have been fine.
You got to just poke at their eyes. That's what they tell you to do.
That's what I did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I poked them in the eye.
Yeah, and that way they fly, or they swim away. They're not happy with it. Well, I'm glad you won the battle with nature today.
I did.
And I'm very glad that you made it here. We're going to talk more about the Cubs. Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune will join us coming up in just a few minutes, huh, Blooper? Towards the start of the show, we'll talk to him about the hysteria that I'm sure is at Wrigley Field right now. Chris Bryant called up and batting cleanup. It's not the most unheard of thing in the world. Five guys have done it since 2000, cleaning up in their major league debut. But that's a pretty serious kind of thing for Joe Maddon to pencil into his lineup, isn't it?
I'd like to hear your position on the Chris Bryant situation, coming out of spring training and getting sent down.
Business sense.
Okay.
But it's a stupid rule. Now, they need to adjust the rule, by the way. So the rule essentially is that, you know, the major league season is, quote-unquote, 172 days when it comes to starting the clock on a guy, and so whatever it is. And if they lowered that number to, like, 100, nice round number, then you wouldn't have nonsense like this happening. So I would like to see that happen the next time we collectively bargain. I'm sure the players would, too, and, you know, ownership might not want to hear that. But, I mean, it's already somewhat arbitrary, and if it's going to be 12 days of a guy in the minor leagues – that's silly. It's silly. Now, is this going to affect the Cubs' postseason chance? Probably not. And I get it. If you're Theo, if you're the Cubs, if you're Jed Hoyer, you got to think big picture. You got to think long term. You don't just think about April 6th through 16th or whatever. You think about the next X number of years. So to me, easy decision for the Cubs to make, but because the rule is kind of stupid.
I completely understand the Cubs' position on, but it's where, for the fans that don't understand, it's where business meets collective bargaining and the game.
Yes.
That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
And Chris Bryant is one of the few guys that's going to come along that something like this is going to affect.
That's a good point.
I mean, really, yeah. How many guys are we talking about?
No, it's a very small handful of guys.
It really, really is. And I think that's the reason that it might not even be collective bargained. When this new contract comes out, because of the fact that there's just so few guys that they're not going to waste their time on it. They have much bigger eggs to fry in that deal.
That's a very, very good point. This makes this kind of impact very rarely. It's the super uber duber prospects. Outside of that, you don't really think about it too much. I guess you could have a random guy that goes nuts during spring training that plays a position of need, and then you're in that situation. But that's a great point. It doesn't happen super frequently, and so maybe it isn't in the next CBA.
I'm anxious to see how well he does. I'm anxious to see what he does this series against our pitching staff.
To see James Shields strike him out a few times.
Oh, that'll happen.
Okay. I like the way you're thinking. We've got a lot to talk about on this show. Mark Gonzalez, Chicago Tribune, coming up next. We'll get the lay of the land from him at Wrigley Field. In addition to all of that, I got some good news on the Ian Kennedy injury front. We'll pass that along. And also, John Heyman, CBS, some really, really interesting nuggets today on the Padres offseason and A.J. Preller. So we'll discuss all of that, plus get to your Twitter questions, comments, and all the rest. It's going to be a fun morning with Kurt Bavacqua. During the next Padres homestand, be sure to check out all the new restaurants and concessions throughout Petco Park. New spots include Pizza Port, The Patio, Zenbu Sushi, Firehouse Subs, Maui Wowie Smoothies, and more. So next time you're here at the ballpark, make sure to check out all the new delicious food options. Take a break. Come back. Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune, live from Wrigley Field, right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines, live at Petco Park, which is not where the Padres are. They are at Wrigley Field on the north side of Chicago, start of a three-game series, and start of a long road trip for the team. We'll also see them play four games in Denver against the Rockies to preview this series. And all the big news at Wrigley today. Very happy to be welcomed by Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune on the Cholula Hotline. Hey, Mark, I imagine it is rather hectic, so we really appreciate your time this morning. What's everybody talking about at Wrigley Field today, huh?
Well, certainly not Bears defensive back Tim Jennings throwing out the first pitch. I think it's pretty neat that he makes his debut here against the Padres. We all know he went to the University of San Diego, plays for Rich Hill, who's a friend of mine, and had a great career here, and then comes here with all the buzz, the fact that the Cubs are actually in first place after eight games. It's a beautiful day at Wrigley, so there's plenty of momentum here.
Yeah, I would imagine so. All right, so he's batting cleanup, which is kind of fun. Is the expectation, though, eventually, you know, Joe Maddon's going to do some lefty-righty stuff, maybe shuffle that around, with Rizzo and Soler, or do we sort of expect this to be the thing?
I think Joe prefers the lefty-righty combination, and right now you look at the lineup, and that kind of reflects that with a switch hitter with Fowler at the top of the order and Soler. Then you go lefty Rizzo, righty Bryant, lefty Coughlin, Sterling Castro. This lineup really stretches out pretty well, and if Chris can contribute, then you got a pretty powerful lineup. But it remains to be seen. It's only eight games. I think there's going to be an adjustment period for Chris, and they hopefully feel that that'll be short.
Mark, Kurt Bavacqua, I think the brass looked at this situation with Chris Bryant at the beginning of spring training, knew that they were going to have a tough decision to make, especially the way he swung the bat throughout the spring. But they looked at the schedule. They looked at the Padres coming in, and they went, ooh, isn't this perfect?
I normally would say that, but James Shields is no day at the beach as far as facing. Theo Epstein did say that this wouldn't have happened had Mike Gold not suffered a hairline fracture of his right wrist. He preferred to break in Bryant on the road. He's done that in the past with guys like John Lester and Jacoby Ellsbury dating back to his days in Boston, but if you're going to pick a spot, you know, it doesn't get any easier because they go to Pittsburgh, and we all know about the pitching they have with Liriano and Gerrit Cole. But there is kind of a comfort here opening up at Wrigley Field, the fact they are in first place and that Soler's hitting well and Castro's hitting well. So it isn't like Chris is going to be asked to carry this offense.
Certainly not. Mark Gonzalez covers the Cubs for the Chicago Tribune. He's on Twitter at MD Gonzalez. Is there going to be a lasting impact at all of the way this was handled? I mean, we heard Scott Boras say his piece. You know, Chris Bryant had a couple of words on it. You mentioned they're tied for first place. So from a baseball standpoint, all's well that ends well. Is this something we move on from now, or could this rear its head again at some point down the line?
I think it will rear its head at some point. You know, Kurt, you play, you know how labor situations are like, and we have another collective bargaining agreement that expires at the end of 2016. I think this will be a battle cry with the Major League Players Association as well as the owners who are going to draw a firm line in the sand and say, hey, we want to keep this under control. And I think it'll be a big big topic in the next negotiation.
Well, I think both sides learned their lesson, Mark, as you well know, after 94 and what happened. And I will say one thing about Bud Selig. Since that time, he has done so well as commissioner of baseball before he left. And he's got Manfred, who was his sidekick the whole time. I really don't see any issues with the collective bargaining agreement and the Players Association. I think both sides know how important it is because of the nature of where the game is right now. I think it's in such good shape that neither side would care to go out on a public relation.
Hope you're right.
Oh, diving board and say, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, and I don't really see it happening. Do you, Mark?
Well, I hope you're right, but I mean, baseball's now promoting its stars. You see kids now just out of college who are advancing through the majors. We've seen, you know, guys like the Strasburgs and the Harpers and the Bryants. It's a game where we're focusing back on the players, which I think is good, but at the same time, there's an issue here, especially with the Cubs, of you know, putting a competitive team on the field, and there were some people that were upset thinking they didn't do that when they didn't have Brian up here. And I just think that as long as you have power agents like Scott Boras in the game who represent a lot of these marquee players, there's going to be a big push to have this addressed at some point. But you're right, 94 was an ugly year, a very ugly year, and I think both sides know what they lost in that whole holdout situation, but I still think at some point it's going to surface and it's going to create some contentious moments.
Mark Gonzalez, Chicago Tribune on Twitter, at MD Gonzalez. There is something else to talk about besides Chris Bryant, of course. Wrigley Field, for Padre fans, they're going to flip on the game at 11:20, about an hour from now. They're going to see something that looks very different than what they're used to seeing. The construction way behind schedule. Are people freaking out there about that? I mean, what's the latest with the actual ballpark in Chicago?
I think now they've kind of accepted it, I would say. For the first series against the Cardinals, it did feel like you had this big 60-inch color TV with no furniture in your living room. That's the way I kind of describe it. In this case, there's the bleachers. You see it's starting to form pretty well with the cement that's in there now. There's still some plywood in left field, and you look at right field, and it's just a bunch of cement blocks. It's going to take some while for that to get done, but I think we've finally been blessed with some decent weather here. And I think the construction now will go according to schedule, where left field bleachers will get done probably in mid-May, and then the right field bleachers getting done in mid-June. But for now, you just have to accept it for what it is, because they got a ways to go.
Nothing you can do. It's kind of like the Chris Bryant situation. You're going to have to send him down at the beginning. But, you know, 2 years from now, nobody's going to care about it anymore, and everyone will have moved on.
In San Diego that's listening to the show that hasn't been to Chicago for a game at Wrigley Field, they need to plan and go there when the Padres play, because it is such a treat.
Yeah, and I would say this, and Kurt can relate to this, the Spartan visiting clubhouse will probably be done in about 3 or 4 years.
They're taking their time on that one. Yeah.
You know what? That's the part of that ballpark that I'll never forget. I mean, I'll never forget having to go over that bridge, under that bridge, having Cub fans screaming at you and calling your mother names. I mean, it's an unbelievable experience going into Chicago. So much fun. Dedicated fans that are super great people.
It hasn't changed.
Yeah, no, not much at all. All right, Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune getting ready to write about Chris Bryant's big league debut. He faces James Shields 1 hour from now at Wrigley. Mark, hey, man, really appreciate the time again, and good to catch up with you.
Take care, guys.
All right, appreciate it. Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune on the Cholula Hotline. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap. For a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano, check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today. Appreciate Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune. Probably a little bit crazy for him this morning, but taking a few minutes for us. Yeah, the ballpark, it's a wreck, man. I mean, they're having so many issues that opening series against the Cardinals, and they had to bring in like 700 porta-potties because some of the bathrooms were gone, you know, because of construction. And it's weird because literally for all of us who are alive now, Wrigley Field has essentially looked the same minus the lights and the day night stuff, I mean, you've watched a Cub game in the 60s or the 70s or the 80s or the 90s or the 2000s or the 2010s. It pretty much always looked the same. And it is going to look very, very different now. They've got a big digital scoreboard, video board for the first time. Not quite as big as the one here at Petco, but, you know, and now the bleachers are out while they're doing the construction. So they've got those big murals kind of covering up where the bleachers will be until that construction's finished. It's jarring. Like, if you watch a Cub game right now, and you'll see it later today if you haven't yet, it's definitely weird to see it be different. But the Cubs are trying to, you know, step into the future a little bit, which was not something they seemed all that interested in doing for a lot of years.
Well, a lot of the reasons the construction was halted was because of all the legalities mm-hmm. that were involved with the people. We saw this the new scoreboard there, and then the homes behind it on the other side of the street. Those are the people that were complaining about. I mean, they sold rooftop seating.
Yeah.
And they had all kind of advertising capabilities and everything like that, and they all got knocked out. But do the Chicago Cub owners have the right to do that? Absolutely. It's sure. in their ballpark.
Yeah, it's their ballpark. It's their business. So, yeah, there was some contentiousness there in the neighborhood. It's a unique setting for baseball.
It really is.
It's old school, man. They're just dropped right into the middle of a residential neighborhood, and that's the way it used to be. I mean, that's the way it used to be a long, long time ago. And, you know, Fenway's got some of that going for it, obviously. You know, Forbes Field in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was off in the suburbs. You know, you got those great old shots, you know, from the 50s and 60s. And there's not a lot of that left anymore. But that's what's cool about Petco and some of the other new downtown ballparks is that you've had residential and commercial stuff sort of sprout up around it. And while the ballparks weren't being dropped into residential neighborhoods necessarily anymore, residential neighborhoods, not purely residential, of course, are now building up around the ballparks. And so you get that kind of downtown baseball feel here and in some other places as well, which I think is part of the beauty of baseball. It's an everyday thing. You come after work, you come after school, whatever it is, and here you are. It's nice and convenient no matter where you go.
And the Pods didn't get one complaint from any of the neighbors in the high-rise about their new scoreboard.
Really? Not one?
Not one, I don't think.
There's one woman on Twitter who's been very upset about a lot of the noise. There's one woman on – I don't know if it's specific to the scoreboard, but I've seen her tweets. She obviously lives in the neighborhood. She's not that happy about it. But, I mean, it's, you know, it's a major league ballpark. Like, it's not going to be a quiet space necessarily.
Well, she's probably watching the show then.
Hi.
I need to start following her so I can check it out.
Okay.
I didn't hear about her tweets.
We'll pass along her Twitter information to you.
Let's
All right.
Do it.
We'll take a break, come back, talk about some interesting nuggets from John Heyman of CBS today on the Padres offseason. Stuff involving Yasmani Tomas, stuff involving the Panda, Pablo Sandoval, stuff involving Cole Hamels of the Philadelphia Phillies. Some interesting nuggets of information that we can talk about. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco's proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Take a break, talk a little Padre offseason, then turn our attention back to today's game. It's a big one against the Cubs at Wrigley. Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, continues right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour. We're broadcasting live from the AMR studio at Petco Park. Jesse Agler with Kurt Bavakwa. Thanks to Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune for joining us, talking about today and this weekend. Padres and the Cubs at Wrigley Field. Chris Bryant called up in the starting lineup and batting cleanup fourth for the Cubs in his major
league
debut.
Mark had a little giddy up in his voice.
Yeah,
you could almost tell he was excited.
This is a special day, you know, and for anybody that's there, and it's not just, you know, a guy making his big league debut, it's a I don't want to say once in a generation, but a handful in a generation kind of guy. That's what we expect him to be. And obviously there's a lot of excitement surrounding the Cubs right now for a lot of reasons, and there should be, you know, aside from the fact that they haven't won anything since 1908. That's not fair. They won a pennant in 1945.
It's if you haven't spent, like I said earlier, if you haven't spent time and had an opportunity to go to Wrigley Field, the reason I'm emphasizing this is because I got so close to so many people in Chicago throughout the course of the years because of the fact that we played all-day games. And when you play day games, there's so much downtime for dinner and for socializing. Mm-hmm. You spend a lot of time with people from the town, people that are managers at the restaurants you go to or bartenders, I mean, it runs the gamut. And I became so close with so many different people in Chicago. When they lost us in 1984, it absolutely crushed the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
I actually felt bad.
I remember you telling me this once, that you felt bad beating them in the NLCS.
I did.
Which is insane to me.
It's insane for me to say that, because I don't feel bad about anything.
No, I know.
People lose it.
Yeah.
Because there's a winner, there's a loser, and that's just the way it is with me. I apologize for it. But I actually felt bad, not only for the ball club, but also for the fans. And I still have beer mugs that were made from a place that Garv and I used to go to in Chicago, where it says 1984 National League champion, Chicago Cubs.
Wow.
They had them printed up. When we left town, they had them printed up.
Yeah. And then you went back and got them a year later?
That's so great.
Oh, man. That's
unbelievable. No, he sent them to me.
Oh, he sent them to you?
Oh, yeah. He goes, we don't need these.
That's great.
I got like 100,000.
Wow. I want to get one of those. Can we have one of those for the set?
Not 100. Yeah.
Yeah, let's bring one in for the set. If you have an extra, I don't want to take, you know, one of your prized possessions, but you have an extra one, you know,
well,
maybe
I mean,
collecting
all
dust
table
somewhere?
Settings. Really? When we have a formal dinner,
oh,
I
that's
put the
so
plastic
good.
Mugs on there.
That's awesome. But, you know, I mean, look, the that team means so much to that town, and that's what's made the losing almost comedic over the years. I mean, the 1908 thing, not having won a World Series since 1908, it happens. It's insane. It happens. To me, it's almost crazier that they haven't won a pennant since 45, especially when you consider that expansion didn't begin until 61. So, like, there wasn't as much competition for those spots all those years, and they've had some really good teams. Not a ton, but they've had some. Mm-hmm. And you had Ernie Banks roll through, and you had, you know, the 69 team was really good, right? And, you know, they had the Black Cat thing at Shea, and it all fell apart for them, and the Mets go on to somehow win that whole deal. But, you know, it wasn't necessarily like the Red Sox where they got really, really, really close a bunch of times. They haven't gotten close all that often. 84, though, obviously they did, and the Padres and you guys took care of that wildness. All right, let's get away from the Cubs for a moment here and talk a little bit about something John Heyman wrote about on CBS Sports today. Really a couple interesting nuggets about the Padres offseason and A.J. Preller. I encourage you to check out the link and read the whole thing, because it's a lot of words on A.J. Preller and the offseason and some good insight. And some of this maybe we were able to infer. Some of it is old news. Some of it's, I think, kind of new news, but I think it's all really, really interesting. The Cole Hamels trade talk, very hot and heavy the whole time up until the James Shields signing. That was kind of the end, which I guess we probably could have guessed, but I don't know. I think there were some of us out there that thought, hey, it could still happen even after Shields signed, but he seemed to suggest in his article that once James Shields was signed, the Padres pretty much moved on from Cole Hamels. But they did make, it sounds like, a pretty serious offer for Cole Hamels, and Ruben Amaro Jr., the general manager in Philadelphia, was not accepting of that. So it wasn't just smoke involving the Padres and the San Diegan Cole Hamels. It was a very real thing that the Padres seemed to be working hard at prior to the Shields signing.
Even though A.J. Preller seems like he does things with smoke and mirrors, I don't think any of the words that we heard over the wintertime as far as being interested in players, and I'm interested in hearing what Heyman said about the rest of it.
Yeah, all right. So that was the Cole Hamels stuff. Pablo Sandoval signed for about $95 million with the Boston Red Sox. According to Heyman, the Padres offered about $100 million to him. They offered more than the Red Sox did, and he wrote that Sandoval wanted out of the NL West. He didn't want to be in the Giants division after leaving San Francisco. I had heard somewhere along the line similar kind of thing about Pablo Sandoval, but you never quite know when you hear things like that. But according to Heyman, yeah, he wanted out of the National League West. Did not want to stay in the NL West, even with reportedly here $100 million on the table from the Padres.
So Pablo's saying that he didn't want to go back and do things against the San Francisco ball club, or was he saying that he wouldn't be able to handle the situation when he played against the San Francisco ball club?
He was not clear on that. What do you think? When you hear a guy say, I don't want to be in the same division as my old team, you can read that as respect. You can read that as he doesn't want to deal with it. You can read that as he's intimidated by it. You can read that as he doesn't. How do you read it with this guy? Not that we know him that well.
If Bruce Bochy wasn't the manager of the ball club, I would say something different, but I view it as respect.
Gotcha.
I would say just the opposite if
okay.
It wasn't for Bochy. And I would say the same thing about Buddy Black if a player said that, leaving this ball club.
really good relationship with the manager
absolutely.
Can impact that kind
absolutely.
Of thing. It's interesting, and it's not something you always hear about. It's not always something you talk about with these guys, but it does come into play sometimes. Really good stuff there. All right, here's another one. Yasmani Tomas. We saw him the other day make his big league debut. He grounded out to Jed Jerko for the Diamondbacks. And yesterday I talked about it. The way Arizona's using him is bizarre. They've called him up and they said he's going to be a bench player. I don't get that. I don't know why you call him up to have him ride the bench, but that's neither here nor there. So Yasmani Tomas, we saw his name connected to the Padres a lot in the offseason, right? A lot. Everybody's saying that's going to be the big A.J. Preller move, and obviously he goes on to have like a bunch of moves. But according to John Heyman of CBS, the Padres only dabbled in Yasmani Tomas. That's the word he used, dabbled in Yasmani Tomas. He also said no firm offer was ever made from the Padres to Yasmani Tomas. So for all of the talk about him, there you go. How about that? He was not a guy that they ever made a firm offer to.
Well, for him to get as much money as he did, I think he played off the coattails of some other Cuban signings. In coming in, and the major league teams basically having saliva dripping out of their mouths when they get an opportunity to sign a Cuban player with any kind of reputation. I was very surprised to see the scouting report on Tomas that he hits to the other way. Mm-hmm. Normally, when you get a guy that's got that kind of power, you're not a 85, 90% hitter that goes the other way. You know, you're a guy that's going to go gap to gap.
Right.
You know, right center field is a good thing. I'm not taking anything away from it. But when he grounded the ball to second base the other night, it was like, okay, scouting report. I went, whoa, on a guy that they gave $70 million to?
68.5.
Okay. It's $70 million now.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's been in the bank for a few weeks.
Fair, yeah, no, that's a good point. He's probably getting a decent rate of return there. All right, so there you go. Those were some of the nuggets from John Heyman. I tweeted the story out if you want to find it on Twitter. Interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting stuff. They only dabbled in Yasmani Tomas. So remember, don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you read. Not saying that Heyman is completely accurate with all this stuff, obviously, but you know that's some pretty straightforward things for him to write. If he doesn't believe it. All right, we got some comments here that I enjoyed in the live chat at padres.com/social hour. Everybody's hanging out in there. Brett says, hey, I'm not a biased Padres fan at all, but I hope Big Game James can spoil Chris Bryant's debut. 0-for-4, 3 strikeouts, but of course no bias at all. That's how, hey, first of all, Brett, you can admit to being biased. You're a fan. You're allowed to be biased. In fact, you're supposed to be biased. But that's how, I'll sign up for that. 0-for-4, 3 strikeouts against James Shields. That'd be fun.
Sure.
That would give us something to discuss
tomorrow. Both sides of the field here.
You
got excitement on the Cubs side. They're in first place. They got a guy that can carry their offense. They're still in first place. And then you got the San Diego Ball Club on the other side of the field with all the excitement surrounding us.
Yes, absolutely. Also, Alex brings up something I failed to mention so far. Another Padre connection. The Cubs activated Chris DeNorfi off the disabled list. So Dino's hanging out, too. So the joke, of course, is all the San Diego media is descending on Wrigley because Chris DeNorfi is going to make his Chicago
as
debut.
As good a guy as there is in the game. He
Such
is
a good
just
guy.
A great guy.
He is. So definitely one of those guys. You wish him well here. Not this weekend, but generally speaking, you wish Chris
so
DeNorfi
he comes
well.
Up in a 6-2 game.
Dino?
In the eighth inning with two men on and two outs.
Yeah.
What do you want him to do?
Make out. What do you mean?
Okay.
Are you saying you want him to get a big hit?
I want him to get a hit.
But I
want a base runner to stumble and get thrown out to plate.
Okay, I was going to say, like, if the Padres were up 9-1 and he had an RBI double, I'd be like, hey, good for you, Dino, in the eighth inning. And then it's 9-2, and then, you know, it's over. That would be fine. But, no, I don't want him to get a hit that makes it, like, a tight situation.
No, the guy gets thrown out.
Okay, as long as the guy
makes
gets thrown out.
Makes a base runner mistake, Dino gets his hit.
It's a very detailed fantasy you sort of come up with here, that the guy's going to stumble coming around third base. Kemp's going to hit Amarista, you know, on the relay or whatever, and you've got it all figured out.
I lay awake at night.
Outstanding. All right, we'll take a break. More of Kurt Bavacqua baseball fantasy right after this. Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio at Petco Park.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines with former Padre Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Friday morning. We got day baseball at Wrigley Field, 11:20 first pitch. James Shields and his former teammate in Tampa Bay, Jason Hamill, going for the Cubby Bears. And the big story, of course, from the Chicago perspective is that the University of San Diego's Chris Bryant will make his big league debut. He has been called up, and he is batting cleanup for the Cubs. Speaking of lineups, so let's talk about the Padre lineup because there's been a good amount of conversation, particularly about second base these last few days and how that's all going to shake out. So let's discuss today's lineup for the San Diego Padres. The San Diego lineup is brought to you by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Pretty similar to what we saw in the last game against Arizona. Myers, Norris, Kemp, Upton, Alonso, Middlebrooks, Jerko, Amarista, and Shields. So Jed Jerko gets a second straight start at second base. Talked about this yesterday. My thing is he got the 3 days. He got the opportunity to work on stuff. Now he's got to do it in games, right? Like, you can't put him back on the bench. You got to give him some time to work it out. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely it does. And what Jed needs to do, got to do, he has to go out and during the game do the things that he's working on when he's taking his off time to work on things. You can't go there. I just know. I'm in his head, and I know exactly what he's going through.
Okay.
He's trying too hard. That's all there is to it. He wants to try to do everything right away, and I know he's a young kid. I've been there before. I know he's trying too hard, and I just hope that he calms down because he's got a lot of ability, and he can really help this ball club. Can you imagine if Jed Jerko starts hitting the ball the way he did a couple of years ago? I'm not going to say starts doing it because he's going to do it. It's a matter of getting consistent on it. And as soon as he's comfortable with where he is and in his own skin back to where he was, he's going to be good.
I was talking about this with somebody the other day. I said, you know, if everybody does what they're supposed to do, and what I mean by that is that Upton and Kemp, mainly, you know, maybe Myers and Norris to a certain extent, kind of all hit their averages. You know, they do what they're supposed to do. They don't have big down years. If they just do what they're supposed to do, the Padres are going to be in the playoff conversation throughout the entire season. Like, they'll be in the mix, assuming nothing wonky happens, you know, with the pitching staff or whatever. If an Upton goes crazy or a Kemp goes crazy and has a career year, then all of a sudden you start talking about really being able to do some special things when it comes to win totals. Then if you add to that, if a guy like Alonso or Jerko has a career year and Yonder's on his way, I mean, he's red hot here at the start of the season, that's all of a sudden how you become a 95-win team or something like that. You know, if those guys, in addition to everybody else doing what they're supposed to do, if you get a Jerko or an Alonso to just go crazy and put up numbers that we've never seen before from them, or in all honesty, maybe numbers like we saw a couple of years ago, for those guys, that's when the thing gets even more serious for the Padres in the win column.
I think the thing we have to remember here is that Alexi Amarista and Solarte are playing good baseball. Those two guys are reliable people. We got Clint Barmas, who's a seasoned veteran that can go into the lineup and be a great defensive player and also come in. I love the way he swung the bat when he got an opportunity to play in the few games that he's played so far with this ball club.
Yeah.
So I love this bench. And then you add the everyday players that we're talking about, or most of the day players that we're talking about, being able to do the things that they do. It's an exciting time.
By the way, another nugget from that John Heyman piece. He was talking to a scout about the Padres' defense, and he said that Amarista was the only plus defender or exceptional defender, I think, which is funny because a year ago everybody was saying, oh, Alexi Amarista can't play shortstop. Now you've got a scout sitting here saying that he's like the exceptional guy defensively on the Padres. Funny how that can happen.
In the meantime, what have we seen out here defensively?
It's been fine.
No, it's better than fine.
Okay, it's better than fine.
It's better. I mean, there was question about Derek Norris's catching ability.
He's thrown out six guys this year.
It's gone.
He's thrown out six guys.
There's a question about Kemp and Upton playing in the outfield. It's gone. There's a question about whether or not Will Meyer can adjust and play center field on an everyday basis. He lost that one ball in the sun back, it seemed like, months ago, but it hasn't been.
Was it opening day? I feel like
and
it was.
I think it was. And I expected everybody to go right to it because of the defense thing. But I don't want to hear about the defense thing anymore. You know, the only defensive flaw that we've seen, the absolute thing that was there on the radar, was Solarte's throw to first base.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an easy play, and he just messed it up, and that stuff happens.
Yeah, no, that's a normal error that there's going to be X number of
those. When you move around as much as he's moved around. People don't realize how difficult that is, except the management of the ball club, especially the field manager and Buddy Black and the coaching staff.
No, that's a really good point. And look, you're going to have however many errors over the course of it. No one's playing perfectly defense or perfect defense over the course of the season. Like, that's going to happen. Something like that is going to happen at some point this year. All right, there's some good stuff there. I want to talk more about it, but Blooper says we got to go to a commercial break.
Oh, okay.
So we'll do that. We'll come back, and we'll continue our conversation and continue to get you ready for the Padres and the Cubs in 11:20 first pitch here this morning. New this season at Petco Park, check out The Landing, presented by Cabo Wabo. This private 300-person patio deck at the top of the newly renovated left field seating area overlooks the field and includes food and beverage. Hear that again. It includes food and beverage. To reserve this new space for your group, contact groupsales@padres.com on email groupsales@padres.com or call 619-795-5010. More Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio at Petco Park right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour. Kurt Bavakwa to my left. My name is Jesse. Morning Social Hour. I like this. Fun way to start the day.
Yeah, it
is. We should have gone full morning show with, like, the coffee mugs and, like, you know, really cheesed it up and, you know, talked about, like, showing puppy videos or, you know, cats playing the piano. Could have gone full morning show.
You just have to stop drinking coffee with pens in it.
No, no, that's what gives it the flavor.
Oh, I see.
I don't like sugar or cream. I just, you know, you put a little ink in there and you swirl.
Squirt it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great idea.
And we're talking about Jed Jerko right there before the break, and you said you know what he's going through. He's trying too hard. He's got to play. So what do you do when you're trying too hard? Because I think that's human instinct, right? If you're struggling with something, you try harder. But you're right. There is a point when you can try too hard. So as a ball player, what can he do? What's the next step?
He just has to get a few hits. He's going to have to get a little consistent for a short period of time, and then he's going to become confident. And as soon as he becomes confident again, he's going to be fine. And people talk about how can a guy be pressing when he's got $35 million in the bank.
No, no, that's nonsense. Anybody who says that doesn't understand anything about
that's
anything.
Exactly right.
That's,
but I hear
have you heard
all
that from people?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that makes my skin crawl, man.
I hear it all the time.
Like, hey, look, now, I don't have $35 million in the bank, so I'm not speaking from experience, sadly. But, like, there are very wealthy people who can be unhappy or stressed out or who can underperform. Like, that's not how that works.
Mm-mm.
Like, that's not how that works.
It takes a lot of pressure off of you as far as
life
going. Exactly. It does take pressure off of you. But still, the pressures and the stress and the expectations involved with the everyday play of a major league player, I think, are entirely different than your normal lifetime expectations.
Not a normal lifestyle.
Right.
Not a normal lifestyle.
Exactly.
Not normal expectations. Not normal things. Hey, thanks to John Morgan on Twitter passing along some nice words. Blooper's Twitter machine is broken, so we're not going to get to the on-screen tweets again. But, John, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging out with us. I like this morning thing, man. How about we do it again tomorrow?
Let's do just
hey, there it is, John. Nice job. It works.
You guys are – yeah.
Who's on tomorrow, Blooper? Who are we with tomorrow? Who do we got? Oh, you don't know. Okay. Some combination of Kurt Bavakwa, Bill Center, Randy Jones, Mike Grace, Gar Reines. Who am I forgetting?
Somebody.
Ben Higgins could be here.
I'll be here Sunday.
It's a mystery? Oh, you'll be here Sunday.
Yes.
Excellent. 10 a.m. shows both tomorrow and Sunday. All right. Meanwhile, Friday, next Friday, a week from today, the 24th of April, the Padres are back here at Petco Park. And not only that, it's the first beer fest of the year presented by Southwest. First pour at 5 p.m. Come for the live entertainment, the craft beer from both local and national breweries. Plus, obviously, great game against the Dodgers at 7:10. So that's where you need to be a week from today at 5 p.m. At the Park at the Park here. Go to Padres.com/party for more information. The first beer fest of 2015. We'll take a break, come back, wrap up this social hour next.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Last couple minutes here, Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. We're live at Petco Park. The Padres, of course, are on the north side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. They're getting ready to take on the Cubbies. 11:20 first pitch. Hey, best wishes to our buddy RJ's Fro, Rick Romero. He had his knee surgery yesterday, I believe. He had the knee surgery. Speedy recovery, Rick. Thanks for hanging out and watching some Social Hour. By the way, what a great excuse to watch Social Hour at 10 in the morning. Hey, I had knee surgery.
Got
to elevate the leg, watch TV all day. Baseball game coming on at 11:20 in the morning. That's very good timing, Rick. Smart job.
For 3 days.
Smart job. Hey, we're back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Enjoy the game, everybody.